This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last Sunday's sermon text was Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where we heard these words of the Apostle Paul. He said, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Over the 6 years I've been here, from time to time I've told people that I'd like to put up two signs at this congregation. I put one on the outside of the front entrance, and it would read, "Enter for service." You see, what we're experiencing right now is properly called a service because we come here to be served by God and nurtured by His gifts. With that said, the other sign I'd put up would be on the inside of the front exit where the exit sign now is. But this new sign would read, "Exit for worship." You see, once we are served by God in this place, we get to exit for worship and honor God with our lives. Now, what is our motivation for worshiping God with our lives? Well, Paul writes, "In view of God's mercy." In view of God's mercy. Did you hear that? We Christians don't worship God because we're afraid of what He'll do to us if we don't. We don't worship God because we're trying to bribe Him with our good works. No. We worship God in response to His gracious mercy to us in Christ. Our lives of worship are a response to the forgiveness, the love, and the life that we've received from Jesus. We are God's redeemed children, and so we worship God with our lives. In fact, this is what Paul means when he says that we should offer our bodies to God as living sacrifices. As you know, the Son of God sacrificed Himself by dying on the cross in our place of damnation. Now, as a result of that sacrifice for us, we now get to live for God by offering our bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, we show our love for God and our thanks for the salvation He's given us by trusting in His will and living accordingly. But that leads to a question. What do our lives of living sacrifices actually look like? How does God want us to live? What is God's will for us? Well, at the end of last Sunday's reading, we heard these words of Paul. Listen to them again. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Simply put, God does not want our lives to be conformed to this world, but instead God wants our lives to be transformed. And that happens when our minds are transformed by God's word. You see, the way we think affects the way we live. Now, as I've already said, the only way our minds can be transformed is by God's word. We need to be instructed by God's word on a regular basis so that we can test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I have a question for you. Do you know why we Christians sometimes live lives similar to the non-Christians of this world? The answer is simply this. Many times we Christians are guilty of eating a steady diet of spiritual junk food. Think about it. Many Christians get exposure to God's Word only 1 hour a week, usually on Sunday morning. And some Christians don't even get that. In contrast, these same Christians are exposed to hours upon hours of sinful examples, wicked ideas, and evil temptations coming at them from all different directions in this evil world. In fact, we should examine our own lives. How much time, on the one hand, do you spend at services and Bible classes and family devotions and reading the Bible and praying versus the time you spend watching TV, surfing the internet, listening to music, playing with your iPhone, working, or engaging in any number of hobbies or recreations? In fact, sometimes those recreations are even sinful. Add up all the hours that we spend focusing on the world versus the time we spend in God's Word. And I think you know what the answer will be regarding what we spend more time doing. The fact is that all of us, including your pastor, could spend a whole lot more time being nurtured by God's Word so that our minds might be renewed and our lives transformed. That's what God wants for us, His dearly loved children. And of course, the good news is that we are forgiven because of Jesus. You see, we're all guilty of being conformed to this evil world. That's why God sent His Son to die for us. Because of Jesus, you can come to God with all your sins, the evil that you've done, the many good things you've failed to do. You can come to God with those sins knowing that you're completely forgiven and holy in God's sight because of Jesus and all that He's done for you. But wait, there's even more. Not only are you forgiven, but the Bible teaches that God's forgiveness sets you free to live a new life. Or as Paul said in our reading from last Sunday, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. But again, that leads to the question, what do these lives of living sacrifices look like? Well, in today's reading, Romans 12, verses 3 through 21, Paul gives us several examples of what a life of a living sacrifice looks like. I'd like you to look at our reading in your bulletin. And I'm going to look, first of all, at that section, which is verses 3 through 8. Paul begins this section with these words. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." Paul then goes on to explain that God has given each and every one of you here today special and unique talents and abilities. The question is, how are we to use those talents and abilities? Well, you know what our sinful nature tempts us to do. Our sinful nature tempts us to use our talents and abilities for selfish reasons, benefiting only ourselves while ignoring the needs of others. In fact, we're often guilty of boasting about our abilities and our talents, all the time forgetting that our abilities and our talents have been given to us by God, and so we can't take any credit for them. But my friends, Jesus' forgiveness has set us free from that evil way of thinking and living. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, you get to offer your body as a living sacrifice by humbly using your talents and abilities to the glory of God and in loving service to others. In fact, just as Jesus used His almighty power to honor His Father and to serve us in love, we get to use the talents and the gifts and the abilities that God has given us to honor the Lord and to serve one another in love. That takes us to the next section of today's reading I'd like to examine. Romans 12, verses 9 through 16. Here, Paul teaches us that a living sacrifice means saying no to the sin God forbids and yes to the good things that he wants us to do. Now, of course, if you're like me, we sometimes do the opposite, don't we? Sometimes we do the sinful things that God condemns. Sometimes we fail to do the good things God wants us to do. But you see, my friends, that's exactly why we need Jesus. We don't come to this place to boast before the world and before God how great and successful we are. No, we come to this place to admit that in spite of our best efforts, we sin day in and day out. We come here, first of all, confessing our sins, knowing that through Jesus we are forgiven. And where we have had success, where we have avoided sins, where we have done good things, we give God all the glory. Because he and he alone is the one who works that new life in us. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, saying no to the sinful thoughts, words, and deeds that God condemns, and saying yes to the godly thoughts, the godly words, and the godly deeds that we get to do as God's dearly loved children. Now, in our reading today, Paul gives us a brief list of the sins we get to avoid and the good things we get to do. Let me just read through this list and listen carefully as Paul describes what your new life should look like. He writes, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. You know, sometime I would like to do a sermon series on that list so we could dig deep into each one of those examples and see how it applies to our lives. But for now, I lovingly suggest you take some time this week to meditate on this list and ask God to help you to offer your body as a living sacrifice by conforming your life to this list. Finally, I want to focus on the last part of today's reading, Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. These words of Paul should sound familiar, and the reason I say that is this part of the reading is simply a commentary on Jesus' famous words from the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to these words of our Lord and Savior. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Let me repeat those words of Jesus again. He said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Back in February of this year, we invited Pastor Hikam Shahab to give his testimony here at Concordia. If you were here that night, you know we packed the place. In fact, many people from our community showed up to hear what Pastor Hikam had to say. As many of you know, Pastor Hikam was not always a Christian. In fact, he was raised as a Muslim, and he was even involved in terrorist activities during his young adult life. However, as he spoke to us that night in February, he told us of the time he heard these words of Jesus, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." My friends, those words of our Lord hit Hicham like a freight train. This was totally new to him. You see, he had been taught to hate and to kill his enemies. So how could Jesus possibly be teaching the opposite? He didn't understand. As I spoke with Pastor Hicham privately later on, he told me how he came to faith in Jesus when he learned from God's word who Jesus really was and still is. You see, the Quran teaches that Jesus was a mighty prophet. But according to the Quran, we Christians got it wrong, because the Quran teaches that Jesus was only a man, and it also teaches that he did not die for our sins. But in contrast, Scripture teaches that Jesus was and is the eternal Son of God, God in human flesh. The Scriptures also teach that Jesus died for his enemies so that his enemies could become his dearly loved children. That's right. The Bible teaches that we are, by nature, enemies of God. We rebel against him in thought, word, and deed. That means the holy and righteous God has every reason to hate and despise us. God would have every right to damn us to hell for all eternity. But here's the amazing thing you'll never read about in the Quran. God loved us so much that he sacrificed his one and only Son in the place of his enemies so that his enemies could be forgiven and become his dearly loved children. My friends, when this amazing love of God captures your heart, he sets you free. You see, as a Muslim, Pastor Hicham was a self-righteous person. He confessed that to me. He said, "Boy, when I was a Muslim, I was a self-righteous Pharisee." You see, Hicham used to think that he was saved because of his good works. And of course, as a Muslim, one of those supposedly good works included hating and killing infidels. But when the Holy Spirit used God's word to show Hicham that he was an enemy of God that deserved hell, when the Holy Spirit used God's word to bring Hicham to faith in Jesus as his God and Savior who died and conquered death for him, my friends, at that moment, Hicham became a new creation in Christ. Hicham is now an ordained pastor in our own Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And even though many of his own relatives want to kill him for becoming a Christian, Hicham continues to pray for them daily and shares his love for them. At the end of today's reading, Paul teaches us that offering our bodies as a living sacrifice includes loving others, even our enemies. Why? Because Jesus loved and served us while we were nothing but his enemies. Now please understand, this doesn't mean that we can't defend ourselves. It certainly doesn't mean that we can't protect others from those who would hurt them. What Jesus is saying is that we should not seek revenge, nor should we bear hatred in our hearts against our enemies. Instead, we should pray for them, and if we have the opportunity, we should show them acts of kindness. Let me give you an example of how this plays out in a real-life scenario. college friend of mine named Becky decided in her sophomore year of college that she wanted to go into Bible translation, to translate God's word into the language of people who did not yet have the scriptures in their language. She eventually met and married a man who had the same dream as her. Well, after they both received training, they ended up in an African nation. I can't remember which one right now. But anyway, one night, after they had just gone to bed with their newly born infant son, later that night, they heard some noises downstairs. Now, you have to realize they're out in almost the middle of nowhere in Africa. Well, Becky's husband goes downstairs to check out what's going on. And to make a long story short, two thieves had broken into their house. Well, Becky's husband, in order to protect his family, grabbed a big stick and he starts telling these guys to leave and get out of the house. And they do start to run, but one of the thieves then turned around and with a gun in his hand, shot Becky's husband once in each leg. So here's Becky upstairs with their infant son. Downstairs is her husband lying on the floor, one bullet in each leg, scared that he's going to bleed to death because they're miles away from a hospital. Well, by the grace of God, Becky's husband lived. After this horrible event, they came back to the United States to recover. But then amazingly, after a couple months, they decided they wanted to return to Africa, to the very same place, and resume their work of Bible translation. When they got there, Becky's husband was informed by the local authorities that they had captured those two thieves who had broken into their home, and that those two thieves were in a local prison not far away from where they would be working. Well, Becky's husband then asked the authorities if he could visit those two thieves in the prison. They said, well, yes, we could probably arrange for that, but why in the world would you want to visit those two thieves, especially since they shot you? And I'll never forget what Becky's husband said. His words were actually recorded in the Lutheran Witness many years ago. Becky's husband said, well, I want to visit them first because I want to tell those two men that I forgive them. And secondly, I want to tell those two men about Jesus and how he died for their sins too. I want to let them know that I'm a sinner, just like them, but I want them to know that there is forgiveness and a new life through Jesus. You see, I want to tell those two thieves that there were two thieves crucified with Jesus. One of them was lost forever because he refused to repent and believe, but one of them confessed his sin and trusted in Jesus and was saved. I want to tell those two men about Jesus so they can become brothers in Christ with me. At the end of today's reading, Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, when we experience evil in this world, what does the devil want us to do? He wants us to fight back with the same evil and the same sinfulness. And thereby, the devil destroys us. But God says, do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. This means that we get to offer our bodies as living sacrifices by being like Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Now, having said that, I'll be the first to admit that I don't do this living sacrifice thing perfectly by any means. I continue to struggle with sin every day, just like you. But you know, the good thing about being a Christian is that you can come to God every single day with all of your sins and know that you are forgiven and holy in God's sight because of Jesus. And my friends, that awesome mercy is what motivates us to try again. That awesome mercy is what gives us the determination and the desire to say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for our lives. That awesome mercy is what moves us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. My friends, this is how we worship God, the God who sacrificed himself for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.